All right, well, we're there in Proverbs chapter number 23, and we are not in a series on Sunday nights. A couple of weeks ago, I finished our Sunday night series that we were going through on the subject of the Holy Spirit. Last weekend, of course, was Mother's Day, and I don't want to start a new series probably for the next 3 weeks. I think we're going to start a series on Sunday night, a Sunday night series on probably June 19th. And just be praying about that for me. I've been kind of trying to figure out the direction I want to go. I'm considering on doing a study on Paul's missionary journeys, and I haven't decided on that. So maybe you can pray for me about that. But for the next several weeks, what I'd like to do on Sunday nights is just preach some standalone sermons that aren't in a series, but some things that I feel like are needed for our church and for our church family. And tonight, what I'd like to do is specifically speak to all of the parents in the room, all of the parents that are raising young children. And I want to speak to you on the subject of things that you cannot ignore in the disciplining of your children. Now, you're there in Proverbs 23. I want you to look down at verse number 13. For those of you that aren't parents, stick with me, or that aren't parents or your grandparents, you've raised your kids. I've got some things for you here in a minute, so I don't want you to just, okay, this sermon isn't for me. I can take a nap. I need you to stick with me, but let me just set this up. Proverbs 23:13 says this, withhold. The word withhold means to keep back, to not put forward. He says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Now, sometimes people are not comfortable with the wording here in our King James Bible. Realize that when the Bible is using the word beatest him or beating him, it's referring to what you and I would call a good old-fashioned spanking, all right? The Bible is not here referring to the word beat a child today has the idea of like, child abuse. And of course, the Bible speaks very highly against that. And the Bible actually puts the death penalty. Jesus put the death penalty on anyone that would hurt a child. The idea here is that the Bible says, and God believes, that we should spank our children. God does not, if you're curious, God does not teach that timeouts are an appropriate way to discipline children. God does not think that, grounding a kid is an appropriate way to discipline a child, but the Bible teaches that we should spank them. This is what the Word of God says. Some of you could have said amen right about there, and it would have helped. Look at verse 14. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. The Bible teaches this idea that we are to discipline our children, and it says withhold not correction from the child. It says make sure that you're not keeping back correction from your kids. Now, you're there in Proverbs 23. Flip back with me to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse 24. In Proverbs 13, 24, we see the same idea. Proverbs 13, 24 says this, he that spareth, the word spareth means the same thing, to keep back, to withhold. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The Bible says if you love your children, you'll chasten them. And if you spare the rod, the Bible actually says you hate your children because you are hurting them when you are not disciplining them. And what the Bible is teaching us here is that we need to make sure that we are being proactive in the discipline of our children. Now, here's what you need to understand, and I've got 6 children, so I know how this goes. What happens is that we as parents have to decide, we have to make judgment calls as to when we will discipline our children, when we will not. Because here's the truth, they do way too many things for us to discipline them for every little thing, right? There's too many problems with kids in order for us to come down on them for every little thing. We have to decide where are the areas that it is appropriate to discipline, where we should discipline, and what are the areas that maybe we can just talk to them, or we might even turn a blind eye, and I'm not saying that's a good thing, but here's the thing, aren't you thankful that God doesn't come down on you for every little thing you do? And in the same way, we should be with our children. The problem with that is that I believe, and sometimes what I've seen is that we as parents need to be told what areas it is not appropriate to ignore or to withhold protection, correction from your children. And that's why I'm preaching tonight on the subject of things you cannot ignore in the disciplining of your children, because I realize that sometimes we can't discipline them for everything. We have to make judgment calls and decisions when we will discipline them, when we will withhold discipline, when we will discipline them, and when we might just talk to them about it. But there are some areas that you cannot withhold correction from your children on. There are some things that your children might do that you have to discipline your children. So what I'd like to do tonight is I'd like to help some of you parents out, and I'm going to get very practical and very personal in regards to situations where you cannot ignore it, where it's not something that you can kind of just turn a blind eye, where it's not something that you can just kind of look the other way or maybe try to have a talk with them, where you as a parent, you have to come through and you have to discipline your kids. Now, let me just say this. Some of you don't have children, okay? Here's my suggestion for you. Learn this and tuck it away for the future, because one day, Lord willing, you will have children, all right? Some of you, maybe you've raised your kids. Your kids are grown. We'll learn this and tuck it away for current or future grandchildren, all right? So you say, I don't have kids. I'm not raising kids right now. This sermon isn't for me. You know, you can use it for future grandchildren. You can use it for future children. Also, let me say this. My goal, my stated purpose tonight, I'm just going to say this out loud so that we're all on the same page. I've got 10 areas that I want to bring to your attention tonight. My stated goal is to offend every single parent in the room tonight, all right? If I don't get on you for something tonight, I will have failed, all right? That is what I'm trying to do, and I'm going to do it with a good attitude, and I love you, but I want to try to help you. What that means for those of you that don't have children or you've raised your children is that this is a guilt-free sermon for you, all right? So here's what I need from you. I need from you to stay awake. I need from you to smile. I need from you to nod your head. I need some of you young guys, this would be a good, help me with the amens, all right? Because all of the parents are going to be offended, all right? So just help me with that, and we're going to help them out. We're going to teach you some areas that you cannot ignore, areas that you cannot ignore in the disciplining of your children. So can I enlist help from those of you without children? Help me out during this sermon. Go to 2 Kings chapter number 2. Keep your place there in Proverbs. We're going to come back to it, but go to 2 Kings chapter 2. If you can find the 1 and 2 books, they're all clustered together, 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, 1 2 Chronicles, 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 23. I want to give you 10 areas where you cannot ignore. You cannot ignore the disciplining of your children. When your children cross these lines, you must acknowledge it. You must discipline them. You must face them on these things. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. Notice what the Bible says. This is a very interesting part of Scripture. 2 Kings 2, 23 says this, and he. Now, here's what I want you to understand. The he there is Elisha the prophet. This is the man of God, one of the greatest, holiest men that ever walked on this earth. The Bible says, and he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he, Elisha, was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city. Now, doesn't that sound nice that there came forth little children? Not these children. Notice what it says. And mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. Now, apparently, Elisha was the opposite of Elijah. He was not a hairy man. All right. Remember, we read about Elisha that he was a hairy man. Elisha was the opposite. He was bald. And these kids, these children, these little children, this gang of children meets him at the entering in of the city, and they begin to mock him. They mocked him, and they said, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. Now, look, you don't want to mess with the man of God when it comes. You don't want to bully the man of God, right? Because here's what happens in verse 24. Notice what it says. And he, this is a really interesting story in the Bible. He, Elisha, turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the woods and tear 42 children of them. There's a big movement today to, stop bullying and to, hashtag face down the bullies or whatever. Let me tell you something. The Bible, there's no new thing under the sun. The Bible spoke about these things even thousands of years ago. And here you had these kids that all gathered together. They decided they want to mock and make fun of this man of God. And then he curses them, and the Bible says a bear comes out and tears 40 and two children of them. Now, that'll let you know, the fact that there were 40 and two children that the bear could attack shows you this is a big group of kids, all right? And it says little children, and we don't know what the ages there are, but look, you got 42 anything coming up to you, that's going to be a menacing crowd. Here's why I'm turning to this passage, and here's what I want to tell you, because we're talking about things that you cannot ignore in your children. And I hope you parents will write these down. And I was joking with you about offending you, and I probably am going to offend you, but I hope you know that my spirit is in the right place. I'm trying to help you as a child, as a parent with your children. And here's what I want you to gather, and here's what I want to say. Here's point number one. Children should not be allowed to bully, gang up on, or participate in name-calling of other people. And here's what I'm telling you, Mom, and here's what I'm telling you, Dad. This is not something that you can ignore. This is not something that you can look the other way on. This is not something that you can just kind of just shrug your shoulders and say, well, kids will be kids. No. When children are participating in bullying and ganging up on and picking on and name-calling, when you become aware of this as a parent, you must deal with it. This is not something that you can just kind of say, well, whatever, well, kids will be kids. Well, look, there are people who literally kill themselves and commit suicide because of bullying. And here, God felt it was a big enough deal where Elisha's kind of, overreacting. Well, here's the thing. Elisha curses them in the name of the Lord, and then that same Lord sends a bear and tears 42 children. God obviously felt strongly about this idea of mocking and bullying and picking on and making fun of. And here's what I'm telling you, Mom, and here's what I'm telling you, Dad. You have to make judgment calls. You cannot come down on your kids for every little thing. There are things, we get it, that you're just going to say, you know what, I'm not even going to ask. I'm not going to open that door. I don't even want to know. You know, we get that. We understand that. You're busy and you've got kids. But when your children are participating in bullying, when they are ganging up on, when they are name-calling, when they are doing these types of things, this is not a time for you to ignore, to withhold correction, to spare the rod. You must deal with your children, not bullying, not name-calling, not ganging up. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you go to the New Testament, you got all the 1 and 2 books, the T books, they're all clustered together, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me say this, number 2, and this kind of goes with that idea, because these kids were being disrespectful to Elisha. So number 1, children should not be allowed to bully, gang up on, or participate in name-calling of other people. But number 2, let me say this, children should not be allowed, and this is a point that I want to make, children must be taught to be respectful to adults. Here these children were being disrespectful to the man of God, but you know what? It doesn't matter if it was the man of God. Kids need to be taught to be respectful to adults. And one area that they must be taught to be respectful to adults is in how they address them. Children should not be allowed to call adults by their first name. You have to correct that. You cannot allow your kids to walk around and refer to adults in the church by their first name. Now, look, I get it. We see each other 3 times a week. Then we go out soul winning. Then we have activities. We have this. But at the very least, you need to teach your children to throw a title in there. Okay? Brother so-and-so. Sister so-and-so. Mrs. so-and-so. You don't need to call my wife, and I'm talking about the kids and the teenagers. You don't need to call my wife Mrs. Jimenez. You can call her Mrs. Joanne, and we don't have a problem. I'm bringing my wife up because we don't have a problem with this. But you don't have to call her Mrs. Jimenez. You can call her Mrs. Joanne. But here's what you can't do. You can't walk up to her and call her Joanne. You understand that? I'm talking about the kids. Kids cannot be allowed to be disrespectful to adults. So Mom, Dad, when your children, and look, my kids have done it. There's been times, I don't think it's ever been publicly, but there's been times when we've been at home and they've been talking about someone, they refer to someone, they call them by their first name. And I think, really? Are you buddies with this person? You know, you're on a first name basis with a 40-year-old man? You don't call them by their first name. It's brother so-and-so. It's right, and you can use their first name, but look, there has to be respect. There has to be a structure where children are taught to respect their adults. So teach them to call the men in the church, you know, brother whatever, brother Oliver, brother Jared, brother, you know, sister so-and-so, Mrs. so-and-so, whatever the name it is, whatever it is, you cannot allow your children to just call their adult by their first name. That's not one area. I get it that there are areas that you might withhold and say, I'm just going to let that one go. That's not one of them. You must rebuke your children. You must discipline your children. When they participate in bullying and ganging up on and name calling, and you must discipline your children when they call adults by their first name. Number three, let me give you the third one. And you know what? Before I do that, let me just show you this, because I want to give you some examples from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and from Titus chapter 1. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 are the pastoral qualifications. And I'm just going to go ahead and answer this question before it's asked. Because when you show something from the pastoral qualifications, people will say, well, that doesn't apply to us. That's just for the pastors. Here's a problem with that. 1 Timothy 4:12. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, let no man despise thy youth. Notice Timothy was a young man, so this applies to young people. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. I preached this before, but I just want to show it to you again. The qualifications of a pastor, which is what we find in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the chapter right before this, where Paul is telling him, you have to do this and you have to do this. You have to live your life in this way. You have to live your life in that way. He says, you live that because you are an example, not to the believers, but of the believers. So when we look at those qualifications, yes, a pastor must meet those qualifications in order to be a pastor. But the reason that he must meet those qualifications is because he's supposed to live his life in a way that everyone else can see as an example, because we are, as spiritual leaders, to be examples of the believers. And I want you to understand that. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. So when we're applying this verse to your children, it's because we're supposed to be, it's a verse for pastors, but we're supposed to be examples for your children and for yourself. We're talking about areas that you cannot ignore in the disciplining of your children. We said, number one, children should not be allowed to bully, gang up on, or participate in name-calling. Number two, children should not be allowed to call adults by their first name. Number three, children should not be allowed to kick or hit other children. 1 Timothy 3:3 says this, not given to wine. Notice what the Bible says, no striker. Remember, this is an example of the believer. This is how all believers should be. No believer should be a striker. Now look, this is not teaching against self-defense. Somebody's attacking you, you are allowed to defend yourself. The Bible's clear on that. But you are not to be the person who's going out and just constantly getting into fights. No striker. Literally he's talking about being someone who punches. No striker. Not greedy, filthy lucre, but patient. Notice, not a brawler. Two times in this verse he says, no striker, not a brawler. Listen, there are times, I get it, there are times when we don't correct our children, when we look the other way. But when your children assault another child, that is not one of them. When your kids hit or kick another child, you must discipline them. You're going to raise a monster. You need it, it's violence is never acceptable, especially unprovoked. Let me give you a disclaimer. You say, oh, Pastor, let me give you a disclaimer. And I get this. And look, I'm with you on this one. Two kids are roughhousing, and they hurt each other. They're both crying. You know, you decide, okay, you know what? I'm not going to spank you. You both hurt yourselves. I hope you learned your lesson. I get that. I'm with that. Your kid walks up to a kid they don't even know. Your kid walks up to a kid that's not just standing there and just kicks them or hits them. You don't look away. You don't say, well, boys will be boys. Well, kids will be kids. No, that needs to be dealt with. If your kid is kicking, is hitting, is assaulting, is a striker, you need to deal with it. That is not an area that you get to look the other way. You must discipline your children. Amen. Number four, go to Titus chapter number one. Titus chapter one. Children should not be allowed. Here's point number four. I told you I was going to try to offend everybody. Children should not be allowed. Look, we deal with these things. We are a family integrated church. We have children around here. And let me just say this. I think the world of all the kids in our church, I think we've got the greatest kids in the world. I'm so proud of some of these teenagers, some of these kids coming up. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to deal with issues and we have to try to help them and we have to try to make sure that they are living the way that God wants them to live. Here's point number four. These are things you cannot ignore. Children should not be allowed to disrupt what is going on around them. Children should not be allowed to disrupt what is going on around them. Are you there in Titus 1? Look at verse 6. Titus chapter 1 and verse 6 says this, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, and again, this is characteristics for a pastor, I get that, but remember, the pastor is an example of the believer, having faithful children, notice, not accused of riot. See that word riot there? The word riot means a noisy, violent, public disorder. Not accused of riot or unruly. Your children should not be allowed to disrupt what is going on around them. I'm gonna quote this, and I'm probably my kids. My wife read those, the Little House on the Prairie books. They're written, a long time ago or whatever. I'm not talking about the show, okay? The actual books that were written by Laura Ingalls Wilder. I think it was in that book. I don't see my wife there. I need to ask her. But I think it was in that book where they were teaching. I don't agree with this, okay? I'm just telling you. This is what people used to believe, back when America was great, okay? They used to teach the children that children are to be seen and not heard. Children are to be seen and not heard. I'm not necessarily saying I agree with that or I think that's the way that things should be done. But here's what I will tell you. Children should not be allowed to take control and disrupt whatever is going on around them. And let me apply it specifically to a church service because that's where we're at. You know what? Your children should not be allowed to disrupt the church service. You need to discipline your children when they are disrupting what is going around, what is going on in the house of God. And let me say this. When we're talking about younger children that don't understand, they're babies, they're toddlers, that's fine. We've got mother baby rooms. Don't sit there and allow your screaming kid for 5 minutes to disrupt the entire service. We've got mother baby rooms for you, mom or dad. Take the baby and comfort them outside of the church service. It's not fair. It's not right for the people sitting around you. Amen. But you know what? Your older children, they need to be taught to sit quietly. They need to be taught to not disrupt the children. You say, well, what do you classify as older children? Look, if they're old enough to be in school, they should be old enough to sit in church. If they're expected to sit somewhere and be instructed, by law, or you go to prison because you don't have your kid in kindergarten or whatever, if they can do it for school Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, then they should be able to do it on Sunday and on Wednesday and on Sunday night. And here's what I'm telling you, and please don't misunderstand me. Sometimes I have to give a lot of information because people are going to judge every word that I say. I'm not saying that your kids are not allowed, you should not allow your kids to get up and use the restroom during the church service. I'm not saying that. If your kid needs to get up and use the restroom, allow them to get up and use the restroom quietly. But when your kid is getting up to use the restroom 6 times in a service, okay, you need to take them to the doctor or, they're just messing around. You've got like a bladder problem, which is fine. I'm not mocking you for that. But or they're just playing, okay? So mom, dad, be smart. You got one kid and it's like they got up to use the bathroom twice. They got up to get water twice. Maybe if you quit letting them get so much water, they won't need to use the bathroom so much. They're just running around and disrupting. Hey, kids should not be allowed to disrupt what is going on. Kids should not be allowed to scream during the church service. Kids should not be allowed to scream during the singing service. Kids should not be allowed to disrupt what's going on. But let me just say this. It's not just the church service. It's anywhere. It is, and please understand this, and you maybe you don't get it, maybe you don't understand this. It is a form of manipulation on the side of your children. And it's not that your children are evil or wicked. Look, they are sinners like you. But I mean, we've got children that they'll start messing around with something. They start kind of wiggling and we're somewhere, we're doing something, whatever. And we say, hey, you need to sit and be quiet. They start building it up, you know what I mean? The cry and the wail is going to come out. You know that that is a form of manipulation? You know, here's what they're saying. They're saying, you will not control me. I will scream and wail wherever I want. In the middle of the church service, before church, after church, at the grocery store, wherever I want, because really I'm the one in control, not you. Listen, and I'm just trying to help you guys out, and maybe you don't understand this. Some of you, we've got some young parents here, and I love you, and I'm trying to help you. You can spank your children. Please, some of you, this might revolutionize your world. If maybe nobody's ever taught you this. You can spank your children for screaming and yelling. You understand that? Sometimes we'll tell our kids, we'll say, hey, don't mess around, and they'll stop. But then they start building up that scream, and we'll say, you scream, you're going to get a spanking. Well, they've already built it up. It's coming. What do? We spank them for it. What do you do when you do it the second time? We spank them for it. What do you do when we do it the third time? We spank them for it. You know, eventually they stop doing it. Oh, every time I manipulate to scream and yell and be out of control, I get a spanking. That doesn't work. Maybe I should stop. Here's all I'm telling you. Your children should not be allowed to disrupt whatever is going on around them. You should be able to control them where you can take them to the bank. You can take them to the grocery store. You can take them on an airplane. You can take them to the church service. You can take them wherever you want. And they're not going to just ruin everyone's life. Because they know that they can just scream and wail and kick and be loud and obnoxious. And no one's going to stop them. Don't let that be you. That is not a time. You say, Pastor, are you literally saying that if I can't get my kid to quit screaming in the middle of the grocery? They didn't do anything wrong. I told them to put it back. They put it back, but now they're screaming as a result. Yeah, you know what? You were going to spank them for what they took. They put it back, but then they're screaming and yelling. Spank them for the screaming and yelling too. That's okay. That actually makes you a good parent. These are things you cannot ignore. Children should not be allowed to bully. They should not be allowed to name call. They should not be allowed to call adults by their first name. They should not be allowed to kick and hit other children, especially unprovoked. They should not be allowed to disrupt what is going on around them. And I didn't say it, but Laura Ingalls Wilder said it, that children should be seen and not heard, all right? And there are some areas where, yeah, you know what? We need your children to be in control of themselves. Number five. You say, I'm not offended yet. Well, I still got five to go. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If you're there in Titus, you're going to go backwards, past 2 and 1 Timothy, 2 and 1 Thessalonians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Number five. Children should not be allowed to go and tattle to parents of other children. Look, your kids should not be allowed to walk up to somebody else's mom and somebody else's dad and tell on those kids. That is not a good habit that it's good for children to be allowed to have. Now, kids do that naturally. So when you become aware of that, you talk to them about it. Say, hey, you know what? Listen, sweetheart. Listen, buddy. You come to dad. You come to me. You come to mom when you have a problem. You don't go to somebody else's parents. You come to the parents that God gave you. And if they don't listen, then you spank them. Children should not be allowed to tattle to parents of other children. Colossians 3:20. Notice what the Bible says. Children, obey. Do you see this word? Your parents in all things. For this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Do you know that God has instituted a chain of command? In every institution that God created, the home, the church, government, God has instituted a chain of command. Let me just give you an example of that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you go backwards, you're there in Ephesians, you're going to go past Galatians into 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. This is an example that doesn't have to do with children, but I just want to show you that this example, that this chain of command exists. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 says this, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. This is a verse that teaches that women should not get up and teach and preach during the teaching and preaching time of the church service. But and I'm not talking about that. I just want you to understand the context, verse 35. And if they will learn anything, notice what the Bible says, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. You know what the Bible says? That if a woman has a question, that she is to go and ask her husband at home. Now look, there's nothing in the world wrong with you or your husband coming to me and asking me a question. I'm your pastor in that spiritual chain of command. I'm there and I'm here for you. But you know, you should develop the practice, ladies, before you come to me to go to your husband. You say, why? Because that's what the Bible says. Because it is the chain of command that God has given you. And we can learn here that wives are expected to go to their husbands first. You say, well, my husband's an idiot and he can't answer the question. Okay, well, don't tell him that. But, you know, say, hey, honey, I have a question for you. Okay, it's Tuesday. You can come back to me with the answer on Thursday. And I love you. Okay? And, you know, let them come to me. It's fine. Or you can both come to me. That's fine, too. There's not a problem there. I'm just telling you this, and here's all I'm highlighting for you, is that in the Bible, there is a chain of command. And here's what I'm telling you. If wives are expected to go to their husbands first, don't you think that children are expected to go to their mothers or their fathers first? Here's all I'm telling you, is you do not want to develop this habit, this culture, where kids are walking up to other people's parents to tattle on them. Listen to me. You need to teach your kids, to come to you with whatever problem they have. And if you have to take it to that parent, then that's your place, your right, and your responsibility to do. But children should not be allowed to go tattle to the parents of other children. You're there in 1 Corinthians 14? Flip one page back to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Let me give you number 6. We're talking about areas where you cannot ignore the disciplining of your children. Look, I don't want you to come down on your kids for every little thing they do. I realize that there needs to be a measure of grace and there needs to be some common sense. And sometimes we do need to take into account that, wow, you know, we kept them out till 2 in the morning and now they're kind of, not doing well with that. I get that. We have to maneuver that as parents and we have to look into it. But there are some things that you cannot ignore. There are some areas you cannot withhold correction. And I'm trying to help you understand these areas. Children should not be allowed to bully. That is a deal breaker. As soon as your kids are involved in bullying, they're ganging up on some other kid or some other person, they're calling names, you must correct that. Children cannot be allowed to address adults by their first name. You must correct that. They should not be allowed to kick or to hit or to assault other people. You must correct that. They should not be allowed to disrupt what is going around, what is going on around them. You must correct that. They should not be allowed to tattle to other parents. And look, as a mom and dad, I'm trying to help you out. You shouldn't even feel comfortable with your kids going to another adult. You understand that? I want my kids to come to me. Because I don't know. I love you, but I don't know you. I love you, but I don't want my kids developing a relationship with you. I want my kids to come to me. I want my kids to come to my wife, to their mother, with whatever issues they are dealing with. Number 6, children should not be allowed to talk about who they like or who they have crushes on. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Notice what the Bible says. Here's what Paul said. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, usually we look at this verse for the primary application. Usually we're looking at this verse and I'm preaching at the young guys, right? I'm saying, hey, quit with your stinking video games. Now that you're a man, put away childish things. Because Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's true. And that's the primary application, and we believe that. But let me say this. We can also learn from this verse that it is okay for children to be children. You do not have to try to make your little kids grow up. In fact, I would encourage you not to. And when it comes to this idea of dating, of love and romance, it is a foolish thing to begin to try to wake those things up in a 9-year-old, in a 10-year-old, in an 11-year-old. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You say, well, shouldn't kids be allowed to date? You know what? The purpose of dating is marriage, and your 12-year-old's not going to get married. You say, well, when should I allow them to start dating, getting married? Well, when can they get married? When can they get married? Well, they didn't get married at 18. Well, let them start dating at 17 then. Why do they need to be dating from 10? And here's all I'm telling you. You are doing a disservice to your children if you begin to put that burden on them and wake them up to the idea of the opposite sex and romance and love. And then we're going to say, hey, 6-inch rule, don't touch her, don't touch him, make sure you're around people. Hey, you're putting a burden on them and you're waking them up to that at a very young age. Let kids be kids. When I was a child, Paul said, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. And he says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. But you know what? Until they're a man, let them be a kid. Let them be a child. Don't sit there and look. And some of you, this is where I'm going to get on those of you that don't have kids, all right? This whole time you've been like, right? Okay, here's what I'm going to get on you. Those of you that don't have children, don't talk to kids about that stuff. Don't walk up to some 11-year-old, some 9-year-old, some, oh, you have a crush on. Don't talk like that. We want to keep our kids young. We want to keep them innocent. They're going to have all the time in the world to deal with that stuff, to fall in love and to go with that. We don't need 12-year-olds dating. We don't need 13-year-olds dating. Did you take that wherever you want? I'm just telling you this. Realize that you should, and if your kids are talking about so-and-so like so, look, we try to tell our kids, don't talk about that. You be friends. You guys are friends. You guys hang out and be friends and play Risk or play Monopoly or do whatever you guys do. You know, do that and just be kids. Just enjoy being kids. Don't allow your kids. Do not allow your kids to talk about, oh, so-and-so likes so-and-so and so-and-so has a crush on so-and-so and so. In fact, when you become aware of that stuff, you can't ignore it. You cannot ignore it. You have to deal with it. Talk to your kids. And if they continue doing it, spank them till they stop. Because it's not something you can ignore. It's not something that you can just look away from. Seek to keep your kids asleep to that part of life as long as possible. Amen. And you know what? And don't try to wake them up to that until they're old enough and mature enough to where it actually matters. Go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. You're there in 1 Corinthians 13. Just flip back one book, Romans chapter 3. Number 7. Realize that your kids may lie to you. I know they're your little princess and they're your little prince and they're lovely and they're everything that is good and right in this world. And I'm not trying to burst your bubble, dad or mom, but listen to me. Your kids may lie to you. They may look you in the eye and just give you a bull-faced lie. It doesn't make them bad people. It doesn't make them wicked people. It makes them your kid. Realize that your kids may lie to you. Romans 3:4, the Bible says this, God forbid. Notice what Paul says. He says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Look, the Bible says we're all liars. Everybody's a liar. The only person that doesn't lie to you is God. The only thing you know that is true is God and His Word. Everyone else may lie to you. So listen to me, mom and dad, I'm trying to help you out. When something goes down and your kid's involved, don't assume that they're not lying to you because your kids can lie to you like anybody else's kids and anybody else can lie to you. You need to do your due diligence. You need to ask questions. You need to investigate. You need to look into the matter. You cannot be the type of parent that just assumes that your kid is always telling you the truth. Because they're not. And here's the thing. You are doing them a disservice if you never catch them in a lie. Because it's better for them to learn at a young age that, wow, there are consequences for my actions. There, I have to take responsibility for the things that I do. And when I just lied to mom or I just lied to dad and they looked into it and they asked questions and they asked the other parents or they, I like to do, looked at the cameras and they found out that I was lying and I got punished for it. That is teaching me that lying is not something I want to do. But when you just believe your kid for everything, they just lie to you and lie to you and lie to you, and you always believe them because they're your kid, you're actually doing a major disservice to them. You're gonna raise someone who just lies all the time, and it's not good. Realize that your kids may lie to you. So when something is brought to your attention, question them about it. Investigate it. Look into it. Don't just assume that your kids are telling you the truth. Because the Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar. And let me just say this. And look, and you may not agree with this, and that's fine. I'm just trying to help you out. As your pastor, I'm trying to help you be the most successful parent that you can be. When you have a situation where it's your kid versus an adult, and you've asked the questions, you've investigated, you've looked into it, and you just cannot tell, you know what? The best thing that you could do as a parent is to side with the adult against your child. Yeah, well, why would I do that? Because it's a good lesson for them. It's a good lesson for them to learn that we are respectful to children, to adults. That we are, and again, I have to give all sorts of disclaimers. I realize you got one adult that's coming to you, you know, 8 different times about your kid, and they're just maybe targeting your kid. I get that, whatever. You obviously, your mom, your dad, make the decision. But here's what I'm telling you. If you're constantly just choosing your kid over the adult, you're not doing a service to your child. If you're just constantly believing them and not even realizing that your kid might lie to you, you're not doing a good service to them. You need to realize that your kids may lie to you. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. You're there in Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Number 8. Do not expect other kids and families to uphold your family's rules. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says this. We already read this in Colossians, but I want you to look at it again in Ephesians. Children, notice what the Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Look, children should be respectful to adults, but you know that they are commanded to obey their parents? They're not commanded to obey everybody else's parents. So look, mom and dad, I'm just trying to help you out. Do not expect other kids and other families to uphold your family's rules. Now, you've got rules. Praise the Lord for it. A family with rules shows me that there's a mom and dad that care about what their kids are doing. But you have to realize that not everybody's going to share those rules, share those sentiments, agree with what you are doing. And look, you need to realize that you have to make sure your kids are obeying you. And not expect that everyone else is going to follow your rules. And look, we've got rules at Verity Baptist Church, and we got rules for the kids. And sometimes we have to update those rules, and we have to upgrade those rules. And I get that. And look, and we're all for that. You know, we're going to be getting rid of this foosball table here soon. And then we're going to be getting a new foosball table, putting it somewhere else, and telling the kids not to go back there. There are things that decisions we make as a church, and they're good decisions. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to realize that whatever is going on, whatever the rules of the church are or the rules of other people, if you have a rule for your kids, it is your job to enforce that with your kids and not expect other people to uphold your rules. And look, I'm the pastor of the church, and we've got rules in our family, things that we've told our kids that we don't tell everybody, but we've told our kids, you don't do X, Y, and Z. And we don't expect you to uphold that or even know that. Because they're my kids. They're my wife's kids. They need to obey their parents. So look, parents, I'm just trying to help you. Do not expect other kids and families to uphold your family's rules. You say, well, when my kids break my family's rules, who should I be mad at? Your kids. They broke your rules. And it's your problem. Do not expect other families to uphold your family's rules. Number 9, go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. If you open up, if you go back to Proverbs, remember you kept your place in Proverbs? Go back to Proverbs 22. Number 9, we're almost done. Number 9. Dude, I think I even lost the singles at this point, so I'm just on my own. Number 9, we're talking about things you cannot ignore. We're talking about things you cannot look away for, things you cannot withhold correction from. These are things you have to deal with, and you have to deal with them head on. Number 9. Do not expect other people to cater to or coddle your children. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just trying to help you. you cannot live your life expecting other people to cater to or coddle your children. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says this, train up a child. In case you didn't know this, mom, or you didn't know this, dad, this is your mission statement. This is your job. This is what you're supposed to do. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The purpose of parenting is to raise children to be adults. The purpose of parenting is to raise children that will one day be able to work and live and function in the outside and the real world. I realize, I get it, we love our children. Our kids have their little quirks and their little issues and their little things, and we want to be mama bear and we want to be papa bear and we want to defend them and we want to take care of them. But listen to me, you are doing a disservice to your kids when you expect everyone else to coddle, everyone else to cater to their little quirks and their little hang-ups and their little issues. You cannot do that. If the only way that your children can function in a social environment is because you go and talk to all the parents to talk to all their kids about not doing X, Y, and Z with your kids, you are raising your kids up for failure. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to show up at their job when they're 20 and say, listen, manager, let me take you aside. My son, he just doesn't like when people... Are you going to do that? I mean, are you just going to show up to whatever, you know, she gets married and moves somewhere and goes to another church? You're going to show up to that church and just talk to all the ladies in the church and say, hey, listen, my daughters, you can't deal with it. Look, I get it. Kids have issues. They've got quirks. They've got little personality things and they've got things. But you know what? You need to deal with those with your kids, and you cannot expect everyone else to coddle or cater your children for your children. And I get it. You love them and you want to protect them, but you're doing them a disservice. You're doing them a disservice when everybody else has to kind of walk slowly and speak slowly and make sure. You need to deal with those things with your kids, because your job is to train them up to be adult, and you're not going to be there with them forever. And you're not going to be able to protect them forever. And unless you're planning to show up to every work they, every place they ever work at, every church they ever go to, every social environment they ever find themselves in, and kind of, you know, make sure everybody knows how they should be acting around your kids because they've got this one little quirk or hang up, look, that's not going to work. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you have to coach others on how to deal with your kids, you're doing a disservice to your children. You're going to raise kids that cannot function in the real world. Number 10, go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Number 10, we're talking about things you can't ignore. We said, look, you can't ignore your kids. I said, number one, when they bully, when they gang up on, when they participate in name calling, you can't ignore that. When they call adults by their first name, you can't ignore that. When they walk up to random kids and tackle them and kick them and hit them and they're violent, you cannot ignore that. When they disrupt what is going on around them, you cannot ignore that. When they tattle to parents of other children, you cannot ignore that. When they want to talk about and bring in this thing with young children, I'm not talking about older teenagers, when they want to begin this dating romance culture with their 11-year-old friends, you cannot ignore that. You have to realize that they may lie to you. You have to realize that it is your job to make sure that your children listen to your rules, and you cannot expect other people to uphold your family rules. You cannot expect other people to cater to or coddle your children. And we love your kids, and we want to help them, but you need to help them with that. Number 10, you must realize that if multiple adults come to you about the same problem, it's a real problem. Look, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but there is no conspiracy against your kids. There is no council of parents where they all got together and said, let's all just talk, let's make this one kid be. If you've had multiple adults walk to you about the same thing, about the same child and the same thing, realize this, it's probably a real problem. You need to deal with it. Proverbs 20, verse 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his works be pure or whether it be right. Look, children develop reputations. It's not, and it's your job to help them. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than silver. So if look, if multiple adults are saying, hey, there's an issue with your kid, there's an issue with your kid, there's an issue with your kid, it's the same kid, it's the same thing, same type of thing, realize that they're probably not lying to you. It's probably something you need to deal with. Go to Proverbs 29. We're going to look at two verses, we'll be done. We made it. 10 things you cannot ignore. 10 things you cannot ignore. And I hope that you've realized or it's came across that I love you and I'm trying to help you. And if I've offended you, my goal, even though I said it, is not really to upset you. It's to help you. And there's just some things. You need to realize that there are some things that there are some times when it's like, hey, listen, don't do that. Or they're kind of tired. I'm just going to let it slide. I get that. That's legitimate, and I get that. But these things we've talked about, those are not it. When they cross those lines, they must be dealt with. They must be confronted with. They must be acknowledged. And let me just say this. You need to pay attention to your kids. You need to pay attention to your kids. You may not realize. See, some of you may not even realize your kids are doing these things. Proverbs 29:15 says this, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You need to pay attention. You need to pay attention. How are my kids interacting with other children? Have you ever just sat back and watched your kids interact with their kids? Look, some of you, I'm trying to help you. I'm not mad at you. Some of you moms at the homeschool PE class need to stop talking. I'm not against you talking. I want you to talk. But maybe once every 6 months, just stop talking and just go and watch your kids. I'm not saying watch them like take care of them. I'm saying observe them. Observe how they deal. And I'm not saying let them know. Now listen, son, I'm going to be watching you tonight. I'm going to watch you today. Okay, that doesn't do anything. I'm saying walk up behind the tree and watch your kids. How does your kid interact with other kids at PE? If you don't know the answer to that question, you better figure it out. You need to pay attention to your children. You need to watch your children here. You need to watch your children here. It's church. Yeah, I know. After the service over, let's fellowship. Let's talk. Let's have a good time. Keep an eye on those kids. Watch them. What are they doing? Pay attention to your kids. Because because a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Pay attention to your kids. Proverbs 22:15 is the last place we'll look at. Just flip a few pages back. Proverbs 22:15. Proverbs 22:15 says this, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Let me just say this. Kids are going to naturally, just by nature, be foolish. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You say, oh, well, my kid's done one of those things. Great, that's fine. They're a kid. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But it's your job, Mom. It's your job. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Make sure you're paying attention. Make sure you're watching. Make sure you're involved. Make sure you're interacting. There are areas, there are times when we look away. There are times when we don't. There are times when we let it slide. There are times when we say they're tired. It's been a long day. They need a nap. I get that. I'm with you on that. But there are some things that you cannot ignore. You can't just sit there and say, oh, well, you have to deal with it with your kids. It's your job. If you love them, you'll help raise them right. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I realize that tonight's sermon is very, very specific, practical, and personal sermon. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to all take seriously the job you've given us. And Lord, nobody's kids are perfect. My kids aren't perfect. I don't want anybody to walk away from here thinking that I think my family's perfect. There's things on this list that my kids do that we need to work on with them. But Lord, I just pray you'd help us to all be active parents, to be actively involved in training our kids, preparing them for the future. We're not trying to raise kids. We're trying to raise adults for the glory of God. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd be with us. I pray that you would help. Lord, I do ask that every single parent here, I know I was joking with them, but I pray that you would help every parent here to take heed to what was said, Lord, and to be looking for areas in their children's lives where they might need to give some attention to, give some correction to make sure that they are lovingly caring and correcting their children. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.